There is a cool seminar that the Mackinac Center for Public Policy is hosting today at the Eberhardt Center at Grand Valley State University. It's today, and it's entitled The Online Learning Revolution. Susan Patrick is the president of this and CEO of the International Association for K-12 Online Learning, and she will be one of the keynote speakers and a panel member. Susan, how are you?
Doing great, Tony. How are you?
I'm doing very well. The last time we talked, there was a lot of talk about online learning here in Lansing. From the people who were against it, we were besieged with information that we're doing this to save money. Online learning can't be as effective as having a teacher right there helping you through the process. And we've learned since then that's not true.
Well, it's not true, because what online learning does is empower teachers and actually make their jobs easier in a lot of ways. In fact, teachers can individualize instruction using these digital tools and content both inside the classroom and outside the classroom to extend learning time. But what it should do is allow the teachers really to focus on engaging kids and help the kids that also need that direct intervention. So certainly not about the gold standard in online learning has always been about the teacher, whether they're face-to-face or whether they're in or out of the classroom.
Tell us about the online learning revolution.
Well, online learning has been growing across the United States, but also internationally in the last 10 to 15 years at about 30% enrollment growth per year. And this is for elementary, middle, and high school. Michigan has a really terrific program that's designed aimed at high school and middle school students called the Michigan Virtual High School. They are one of 39 states that has a virtual school that offers supplemental courses. There are also 27 states that allow full-time online learning opportunities, and we estimate that more than 4 million students across the U.S. now are taking classes online, either within their school or outside of their schools. They need more flexibility or extended time.
Susan, as you know, the U.S. used to be a world leader, if not the world leader, when it came to educating our kids. Now, when you look at the free world numbers, we're near the bottom. Do you see that improving anytime soon?
Unless we do something very significant and strategic, we're really in trouble in terms of global competitiveness. If you look at the numbers over the last 50 years, take a walk back, we were number one in college attainment across the globe. 2 years ago, that number slipped to number 10. Last year, when those numbers came out, the U.S. had slipped to number 15 in college attainment. And it's not that our numbers are going down. It's that other countries are moving so much faster. So South Korea, which wasn't even on the top 30 list, is now in the top 5. And you saw in the PISA results, which are those study of math attainment in our high schools, China participating, Shanghai, for the first time last year and coming in at number one. Our scores have been relatively flat over those years, and those scores were good enough 50 years ago, 20 years ago, to be the leading country, but other countries have their running shoes on for this global race, and they are moving much faster.
Susan, my wife recently wrote a paper and was part of a group presentation as she is trying to attain her bachelor's degree, and they talked about changing the way we educate our kids, that this system was put together because we had a lot of kids who had to work on the farm, and now we need to catch up with the rest of the world. Our kids should be going to school longer, and when they get in to this longer time period, it would enable to them to do all their homework so they wouldn't have it at home, and maybe we should be going to school year-round. What do you think about that?
Yeah, we see a lot of people looking at how we can really redesign our education system to be focused on helping every single student, each and every student, succeed. And it's true. If you look at the way our education system runs, it's still on the agrarian calendar, so we can get off to work on the farms in the summertime. And we're still in the industrial model, from locking kids into age-based grade levels. Now, it's not to say that kids shouldn't be going to school with their peers. They can and they will continue forever, just like they have since the ages of Socrates. But what we can do is we can say that every student moves at their own pace, and we know that. And to be able to provide some individualization around pathways for students through an entire curriculum that helps them become ready for college, careers, and life, whether they want to go to college or into the workforce, and all of a sudden that's becoming possible. I also have a lot of optimism because the U.S. has done something truly remarkable in the last 2 years, and that is 44 states and the District of Columbia, at least for math and reading language arts, has each state has independently adopted a common core of academic standards, and those standards were internationally benchmarked with the top performing countries. So now, at least, we're aiming for the right goals to help our kids be more competitive.
All right, Susan Patrick is the president and CEO of the International Association for K-12 Online Learning. It's the professional association for advocacy of research in K-12 online learning, publishing national quality standards and best practices. Susan, enjoy Michigan, and we'll talk to you soon.
Thanks for having me. Bye-bye.